Tell you, let's just turn over in our Bibles as we get started. We'll be a little bit ahead of the game here. Let's turn over to Psalms 119. Who's excited today about Jesus? Amen. I'm telling you, the closer I get with him, the more I just really am falling in more in love. It's just a love relationship, and love it, it's wonderful, when, you know, and no matter what age you are, and when you're in love, everything changes. Your whole outlook, everything changes. You know, when Jesus walks into the person of you, and your body, your spirit, your mind, your will and emotion, your soulless realm, when he walks into the vessel or into your room, everything changes. You know, there's a song that when he walks into the room, everything changes. Man, and the good thing about it is that everything, it changes for the better. Amen. We don't have to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. So I just wanted to let us warm up a little bit and get into this thing. I want to open up in prayer. And as we go in, we're in Psalms 119. And we're going to start in on about verse 97 and take it down through 100. It certainly is a pleasure to be here today. So, as we all get comfortable, you know, Brother Tim, he spoke a powerful word today that gave me, and I don't like the word as a whole. I have, the Lord over the years has taught me to not really like the word confirmation. Because if I got confirmation, I've told Michael this, I've told others this many times. If I got confirmation early in my walk, every time that I thought I needed it, I would have never been able to walk out faith. Okay. Because if you get an answer, you'll quit right there. If you feel like you get an answer on what you've been praying for, you'll go in that direction. And the Lord will let you go into a desert. But normally, 9 times out of 10, he doesn't put you to that desert till you've been up on that mountain and you got that water. Then you walk back to that place. And a lot of times it'll be a dry place. How far can you walk in this world? How far can you go for God? The amount of water that you carry. So if we got confirmation every time seemingly we thought we needed it, we wouldn't be able to build and walk in faith. But it's the most important word when you need it. Does that make any sense? When you need it, your life depends upon it. And God will give you that confirmation. And the Lord, we had the liberty when he says, he said something that the Lord is going to have you all say some things, talking to Pastor Carlos and myself. It's going to give you freedom to give out some things as we go along. Wasn't that what you said, brother? Well, one of the things before we get started, I want to challenge somebody right here, and I want to encourage you. You've been into a position where you've not felt like you could be used. You're sort of stagnant, and you might even have a fear about giving out. And I want you to think about this. If I was to take this bottle right here, how many remember in the hen house or in the chicken pen? You have to have a bowl of water, and there's a little glass, you know, a little jar that sits on top of it, like even in a, you know, a little feeder. And as long as the animal drinks of it, it'll refill it. And the message I want to give you this morning is don't be afraid to give out, because the Lord's going to replenish it. And I feel like it's very particular in here for somebody. Well, I'm not this, I'm not that. That doesn't matter, because your righteousness is not of you anyway. Amen? Well, Father, we just open up and we just come to you. And Father, may the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be acceptable unto your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go over to our passage. We're going to be speaking today, and my name is Mark Blankenbeckler. I'm pastor at Grace Place Farms. We also have Glory City Church Crawfordville in Crawfordville, Georgia. It's a church plant that we're trying to get on the ground. And just keep us in prayer on that. We're probably about a month out, if we can stay working on the church, of getting this church open. The Holy Spirit spoke to me when this opportunity came up. And he said, Mark, I've opened a door for you, and I want you to walk through it. And it's a church. We were really blessed with a beautiful, beautiful church in Crawfordville. And please keep us in prayer. We like about a month, and we will have this ready to open up in services. So our passage and what we're speaking on today in this workshop is based on Psalms 119, verses 99 through 100. And the gist of it is, or getting straight down to it, we display more insight than our teachers. We display more insight than our teachers. And let me just go, I'm going to read it out of the King James Version here. And I'm going to start probably verse 97. O Lord, or oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Yes, through your commandments, it makes me wiser than all of my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more, verse 99, our key reference, I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Let's repeat that verse 99 again. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Verse 100. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. So as we get into this a little bit, I want to go in a little bit different way. If you were to take the Wycliffe translation of Psalms 119, 99, this is how it would read. I understand overall men teaching me, for thy witnesses is my thinking. I understood overall men teaching me, for thy witnesses, he's talking about the Word of God, is my thinking. In other words, that translation, it would say that the law, the Word of God, the commands, the precepts, the oracles, the testimonies of God have become my thinking. And I want to bring you note, the Bible would say in Proverbs, as a man thinks, so is he. And what that premise of that passage right there in Proverbs 23, verse 7, here's a gentleman that's going to sit before kings. Okay, and the Bible's warning us, be careful when we sit down and accept things from people, because sometimes they have ill thoughts or ill plans. Is that fair enough? He's giving warning, but the goodness in someone leads to repentance. We know what Romans said. So what I'm saying, when we get the Word of God in us, we have all uprightness. We have all righteousness. We have God's... What's the book of Proverbs? It's to lead someone in the right standing with God, the righteous way of life, right? In other words, Proverbs is God's way of living life. Is that fair enough? It's God's intent. He shows us his intent, how we're to live our life. It's his viewpoint or perspective of living life. Is that fair enough? So in Wycliffe would say in 1999, I understand over all my teachers or teach the people teaching me, for thy witnesses, my law, my words, my commandments, is my thinking. Now, and then he says, I have more understanding than all of those who teach me because I think like my teachings. You know, over in, what is it, Psalm 16, it says, O my soul said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my goodness is nothing apart from you. Let's just took, if we took soul being what? Your mind, your will, and emotion. When your mind, will, and emotion and your thinking line up with God's word, that's who you become. And by the way, when you accepted Christ, you became one with him. And how did that happen? Well, it happened by accepting God's word, 1 Peter 1:23. That by the word of God, we become one with him, okay? That we were made new by the word of God. I have more understanding than all of my teachers. What is understanding? What is understanding? Let me give you a definition of understanding. I'm having problems seeing. Just bear with me a minute. We've been working a lot of extreme long hours, so I'm going to get here. And I had LASIK surgery. Has anybody ever had LASIK? If you don't have good light, you don't see well. But well, I got it now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I have more understanding than all of my teachers. To understand is to have success, wisdom, to prosper, to understand and have skill in it. I want you to think about that. Now, the word there that he uses in the Hebrews, Sharon, I want you to come up with me. The way that he says the idea, and this is a workshop, so I want to spend time on some foundations, okay? So when you have understanding, It's talking about to have success, to prosper in it, to couple up with it would be one way. In other words, you have to be willing to reach out. And the way it would be, if you studied in your concordance, it would take the hand, but you'd not only take the hand to have understanding of God's word, you have to be willing to step out and take it. And then the way it would explain, you'd lock arms with it, okay? And you become one with it. That is understanding. So going back to the passage, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Understanding is to lock with it and to prosper in it. How and what? Well, what it says and what it means. And it says, because I keep your precepts, that word precepts right there would be to guard. Amen. A guarding principle or rule that's used to control or influence and regulate conduct. See, precepts are laid down. It's a guarding principle to rule or a rule that is used to control, to influence, and regulate their conduct. Is anybody in, maybe the ladies don't, we've got a lot more ladies, thank you. But I'll just say this, I'll leave you guys out and you can fill in the blanks. I know Michael and I know Philip, and we got to be sort of helped. We said we have to be put in line. Is that fair enough? And I know my brother and I know this man. Sorry, we have to be put in line. So the precepts are what keeps us in line. Is that fair enough? Forever, O Lord. I'm going to look at this. Forever, and this is Psalms 119. 99 through 100 is our passage, and I know I'm switching up a little bit. It says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth, and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. And that was Psalms 119, 89 through 91. Okay? Now I'm going to switch over right to you. Psalms 119, 15 would say this, and it's a fourfold vow to God. Then I'll get back to 89, verse 89 through 91. Psalms 119, 15 would say, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I'm going to tell you the biggest problem, and like I say, I'm going to use men today. Okay? The biggest problem that we have as men is respecting God's word. Because if you respect the speed limit, that's where you'll be. Is that all right? The biggest problem we as individuals have is respecting God's word. Verse 16 would say, I will delight myself in the statutes. I will not forget thy word. What's the number one agenda of the enemy? To try to steal the word of God away from you. That's his number one agenda. Number one agenda in the home today, number one, is to take mom and dad and split them, husband and wife. Because if he can do that, when that unity, or when that triangle, okay, man, woman, and God, that three hands, you know, like a triangle, when he can bust that up, all the little children are at the play of the enemy. Bottom line. I will delight, verse 16, I will delight myself in the statutes. I will not forget thy word. A statute is a law or decree made by sovereign. In other words, an authority or by God. Okay, now let's switch back. I sort of jumped around there a minute ago. Psalms 119, 89 through 91 would say, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Now, I want you to think about a building. And I want you to think about this room right here. I know Michael's in building, Edgar's in building, I'm in building and construction. Tim is a contractor. They build buildings. What happens if the foundation is not settled in a building? There's going to be a crack and there's going to be a fall. Let me tell you, God's word, when it's settled in heaven, it's settled everywhere. Amen. He rules and is reigned. Okay, and we cannot forget that. For your word, Lord, is settled in heaven. Now get this. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. And I've got a little note right here. In 2 Corinthians 3:5, it would say, I am adequate for anything because my adequacy comes from God. I want you to think about that. I am adequate for anything because my adequacy comes from God. Now, here's the thing about it, and you're sitting right there, well, you know, sometimes you just got to turn your thinking off. And are you going to believe God's words or are you going to believe what you think? Well, your thinking got you in the mess that you've been in the past in here, and everyone in here has leaned to their own understanding, going against Proverbs 3. What, 4, 5, 6, right through there, starts in verse 3. When we lean to our own understanding, get ready, folks, I'm going to be real with you, it gets to be a stinking situation. Okay, but the Word of God says right there, through God's faithfulness, I am adequate for all things, and I'm really pushing that word because I want to encourage you, because His adequacy is my supplier. Amen? His adequacy, and it comes from God. It says, right on the next verse, you establish the earth and it abides. We would know that Psalms 150 would say that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And my mom and my grandmother, you say, this is the Lord's earth. He owns all the cattle and all the hills thereof. You know, it's all his anyway, right? Okay, they continue this day according to your ordinances. All right, ordinances would be, that Hebrew word would be law regulating. It would be law, the regulating authority. God's ordinances include the regulations of heaven, now get this, and earth, and all of the things therein. You're one of those things. You're one of those things. Now get this again. God's ordinances include the regulation of the heavens and the earth. Let me say right now, I'm going to put a little comma in there and sort of stop it a little bit. The Lord is in charge. No matter what's going on in our nation right now, through the ups and downs, through the splitting, through the indifferences, God's in charge. Because the regulation of the heavens and earth are of God. And all of the things therein. You're one of those things. You ever been called a thing? How many remember that little Volkswagen car called the Thing? Y'all remember it? That might have been a real... Who don't remember the little Volkswagen car, the Thing? You don't remember it? It was a little old compact car. You know, I know I got my car buffs in here. It was about... Hold your hands out, Sharon. It was about this long. Was that close enough? It was a little bitty thing. What was it, about $2,500, $3,000? What much was they, Philip? Years ago. What, 70? My guy right here, Philip, is going, Pastor Philip, is going to help us. Just
68 to 83.
Let's read what ordinances are again. Law regulating sovereignty of God. God's ordinances include the regulation, this is the ordinance, of the heavens and of the earth and all things therein according to the fixed laws that are eternal. What God says is trump, right? Now, going back to that thing, you're one of those things, but if you'd have bought one of those things then, it would be hard to tell if you had one of those things now what it would actually be worth. So when sometimes you look at certain things and you don't know what you're getting into, you know, just you'd have bought one of those things, you would have never imagined what it could end up being worth. Amen? So just... All right, 2 Timothy 3:15. So where we want to go with this is by keeping God's word. By keeping God's word. In other words, it says that I have the wisdom above my teachers. That only applies if I'm taking in his word and that his word has become one with me. In other words, the key to this whole passage is one thing, that I fail in love with the Word of God. You know, let's just say we were dating. Is that fair enough? And we fell in love. Let me tell you something. A person in love, nothing's going to keep them apart. There's no mountain too high, no valley too low, no ocean too wide or whatever. You're going to make a way, and that love is going to prevail. Love never fails, right? So the key here. And let's just go ahead now. Who desires to be closer to the Lord? And who desires to have more wisdom than all their teachers? Let me tell you, I'm going to be real with you. I've studied this thing. It all comes down to one word, love. Fallen in love with God's Word. God, I can't get enough of it. You know, let it be. And this is one thing we've taught men for years is, Lord, your word is my blood. You might say, well, Mark, you're about crazy. Amen. And you know, what's essential for life? Blood. A liquid that supplies the body. You know, if you get low on blood, what happens? Have we got nurses? Who's nurse? Well, you've got to have blood, right? The word of God is my blood. It's my desire. It's my love. It's my love. It's my love. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16. And that from your childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which you are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is of Christ Jesus. Then it goes into what we know it more than anything, 15 and 16, is all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for insight, and righteousness. Okay, God's word is Holy Spirit breathed. It is for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, to be in right standing with God, to walk out the word. If you walk out the word of God, you're in righteousness. You've not only in it, you become righteousness. And what is it? Revelations, 4:17 would say that as Christ is, so are you in this world. So I want to look right here, and I want to take it back just real briefly. I want you to turn over in your Bibles. Let's go over to Deuteronomy, how this thing has always been from the beginning. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 in verse 4. So we're looking at two things right here. There's a requirement that the house of Israel, that the children of God love. Seriously. And guys, what's wrong with America today? America being the leading nation in fatherlessness. America is a fatherless nation. And we did a crusade downtown, and Michael was the leader. He asked a few of us to speak, and one of the things that the Lord had me speak on was the United States of America being a fatherless nation. The leader in fatherless nations. And notice that everybody that was our allies came into a close second, third, and fourth. Our allies, they thought the way we did. Now, they not only thought the way we did morally, you've seen it that they were fatherless nations also. Isn't that amazing? You are the company you keep. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we take a look at the command. All right, in verse 4 it says, is everybody there? Is this okay? I know I'm jumping around a lot, but I'm trying to get so much in here. But it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. Now he tells us, and that's where this love thing comes in, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. How many laws are there? There was what, 619 laws? Some people would say it went into 682. And Jesus went before everybody. He said, all of the law and the prophets is hinged upon two commands. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Then he added going on and says, and love your neighbor as yourself. He said, upon these two, the second is like the first. Hinge all the law and the prophets. But look right here, guys. This is the problem. And this is where America's got away from, and it's caused a problem as we go on in this scripture. Verse 5 again, you shall love. What are we to love? God's word. God's word. And then I become one with him. And first of all, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, love does not abide in you. How many have ever been in a situation before Christ that they couldn't trust your heart? Everybody in here. because your heart was wicked and it was evil, corrupt and defiled above all things. There was a time that I could not trust my heart because there wasn't nothing but sin and death in it. And I'm telling you the facts. Okay? So, let's look at this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. Now look at verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And guys, we're going all the way back to Deuteronomy. And it's always been a love thing. It's always been a love thing. All right? Verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Verse 8. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. In other words, guys, what we've done, we've got away from God's word. Our number one principle, our number one objective, it's not, we pray it's the church's objective. Don't get me wrong, the church should be doing this. But our responsibility as parents is first and foremost to teach God's word, to live God's word. You can't blame it on the church. You can't blame it on the school. You can't blame it on the government. You can't blame it on you. You can blame it on if we're not teaching God's word. Hey, man, we go right back to the beginning. We've got to fall in love with God's word. Now, I want you to turn over in your Bibles real quickly. We're going to do some surfing. We're staying on the family. How do we get to where we have more wisdom, more understanding, more insight than our teachers? We got to make God's word priority. So we went all the way back to the foundations in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It tells us how we're to conduct our household. And one thing about Michael right here, he's got four daughters. He sets them down, and they go over God's word. They go God's word. There's been a lot of YouTube that shows him sitting right there and those four precious little girls, and they are studying God's word now. They're studying God's word. So let's... We've got the word of the Lord. It says you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And who you and what you love is what you'll dedicate yourself to. You'll go running.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Who and what you love is what you'll invest in.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let's look. Let's go real quick to 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm going to paraphrase it. So we're going to get a father aspect, King David. What he says about life. Now, the premise here or the foundation here is David, King David, in 2 Kings chapter 2. Is that 1 Kings? It's 1 Kings chapter 2. I'm sorry. I normally quote it all the time, but 1 Kings chapter 2. Sorry about that. So the situation here and what's actually happening is King David is on his deathbed. Now, how many knows, and I'm sure you do, that King David was a billionaire. With a billionaire and responsibility, he was over all the houses of Israel, right? He was over the complete house. He had a lot of responsibilities. A lot of responsibilities. But he knew what was priority. He's on his deathbed, and this is what he says. He charges his son Solomon, and he charged him. He says, "Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man." Now, here's David. Nick, now make sure you take care of this. Nick, Luke, make sure you take care of the farm. Luke, make sure of this. Nick, make sure of that. He doesn't get into all that. And he had a billion things he could have discussed with them. He says, Be strong and prove yourself a man by keeping the word of the Lord. I want you to think about that. By keeping the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to walk in His statutes, to walk in His commands, to walk in His precepts, to walk in His oracles. In other words, to summarize this now, to keep the word of the Lord. And then by doing that, he goes on to say, in wherever you go, in whichever way you turn, you will prosper. Amen? So we're going back. You know, how do we get to where we have more wisdom? Well, David knew. And he didn't waste time on his deathbed. Well, hey, I've got $100 under the couch. Make sure you get that. You know, Luke, you get my red car. It's a Corvette, by the way. The Lord told me to give it to him. I give it to him. God focused right in on the most important. He says, son, whatever you do, fall in love with God's word. And whichever way you go, in whichever way you turn, you'll prosper. So, that's the Father's. We got God's viewpoint in Deuteronomy chapter 6, right? Teach, love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Teach your children the ways of the Lord, okay? Make it primary. Make it most important in the house, and you're rising up, and you're setting down, and you're going out. Teach the kids your word. So we just got Father David's viewpoint. No matter what, son, fall in love with God's word. All right, let's look at Mary's viewpoint. So we had God's viewpoint. We've got David, King David, the Father David. He's, you know, it said from your seed, you know, will come the Messiah. Is that fair enough? So now we're going to look, who loves Jesus' mom, Mary? Man, I love that woman. What was the last recorded words in Scripture that Mary said? Let's look at it. It would be, John chapter 2, verse 4. Mary, mother. John chapter 2, verse 4. Now what was that? So, like I said, we had God. We said what God and shared what God commanded us to do. What David commanded his son, he charged him. He commanded him. He said, "Son, keep the word of the Lord." So now let's look at Mother Mary's in John chapter 2, verse 4. Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me?" You know, sometimes mamas know best. Amen? Amen? Let me tell you, my go-to person when she was living was my mother. Jesus went on to say, you know, let me repeat it. Jesus said, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said, now his mom didn't go no more. She didn't say no more. She said to the servants, "Whatever," now get this, "whatever he says to you," and if you lose that "you" part, you've missed the whole premise. So mom's viewpoint, mom's advice, mom's last dying, not dying, but last recorded words in Scripture is to you. Are you a servant? If you're not a servant, you didn't accept Jesus. Because he came not to be served, but he came to serve, right? So if you got a problem with serving, you need to look at your master because he's a servant. Amen. So, Mother Mary said to the servants, "Whatever he says, you do it." So, we're to adhere to God's word. Why? To have more wisdom. In this context, in this class, to have more wisdom than all of my teachers. Now, how do I get that? I got to fall in love with God's word. In other words, I got to be one with it. It's got to become one with it. Amen. You know, as Sharon and I, to have that understanding, you got to be willing to step out and lock in. You got to be. Okay, now on this same tack, let's look at Jesus's viewpoint. What's Jesus's viewpoint? All right, we'll go to John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29. John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29. So we've had God's command, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. He says the Lord God is one. He give the commandment, he give the words. The most important thing is to teach our children in a godly house godly words, godly precepts, the Word of God. Is that fair enough? Yes. Okay, then we had King David's. Whatever you do, son, fall in love with the Word of the Lord. Keep the Word of the Lord, and you'll prosper wherever you go and whichever way you turn. And then we got Mama's insight. She said to the servants, she's saying to us right now, whatever Jesus says, you do it. And let me tell you, isn't that a remarkable? So let's look at what Jesus says right here in John chapter 6. We'll let that lay down right there. Verse 28 and 29. So this is going to be the fourth perspective or the instruction. The fourth instruction. We had God's, we had King David, we had Mary's, and now we're going to get the Son's perspective. God the Son. And he had just fed the multitudes. And even through that, some did not believe. They did not believe. And in verse 29, and I'll let you, we don't have time to stop. I don't have time to get into that very deeply. But finally, he got over to them that they were seeking out the wrong type food. In other words, he had multiplied the fishes and the bread. And he said, you only came to get your belly full, but there's food that you don't realize. There's food here from heaven that you're required to eat of and partake of. I mean, he really blew their mind when he said, I'm the bread and my blood. You know, you've got to drink from my blood. You know, and all that. This guy's nuts. But he finally got over to them a point, and they said, well, what must we do? Let's look at it right here in verse 28. So we got a little bit of light shining in them, and they said to them, verse 28, then they said to him, Jesus, this is the people said to him, what must we do that we may work the works of God? Now get that. They finally, you know, they're frustrated. Jesus said, you know, you're missing the whole thing. The bread is standing in front of you. All you come out here to get is natural food. And the food of life, the life is standing in front of you. And then they say, well, what must we do to work the works of God? Now notice the answer. And this is the fourth answer on life. And Jesus answered them in saying, this is the work of God, that you believe in him being Jesus, in whom he, God Jehovah, has sent. Amen. Now, if you're believing in Jesus, what are you believing in? God's word. Amen. Y'all getting this? Amen. How do we have more wisdom than our teachers? Fall in love with Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, there's just a little bit of a viewpoint. Ephesians 2:10 would say this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you and I should walk in them. Now, and let me tell you, there's great importance in this scripture. I want to get this. You're not just a normal person. There's a person in here that you've been afraid to pour out. And you feel like you're stopped up. Well, Lord, have you done this? And I've done this all these years, Lord. But you've got to be willing to give out, because God is more than willing to give in. He's desiring so much to pour into you. All right, and this is going to help you right here. Verse 10 again. For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you and I, that we should walk in them. That word good right there is not a normal word. The same word is used in Mark 10, 17 and 18, and Luke 18 and 19. There was a rich young ruler. In other words, there was this young man that had a lot of money. And he goes up to Jesus in these passages, Mark 10, 17 and 18, Luke 18 and 19, and he goes up to Jesus. Come here, Jesus. And he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, you know, keep this, keep that, you know, keep that, keep that. Then he tells him, but there's one thing you're required to do. He says, give all your possessions to the poor. He went, beep, beep, beep. And this Jesus' response, he said, why do you call me good? He says, why do you call me good? Well, let me back up. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Good as a moral standard. Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Now get this. In both sets of scriptures, in Luke and in Mark, he says, Jesus himself says, there's no one that is good but God. The same Greek word for good in Luke and in Mark right there is the same Greek word when you were created for good works. In other words, let me spell this out where you can smell on it. You were created for God works. I want you to think about that. For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for God works. Good works. That word good is the same word that is used. There is no one good but God. I want you to think about that. Pretty stern stuff, right? You going to believe it? Let me tell you, let me talk to the lost. Let me pour my heart out. And you say, well, I might not have no word. Let me tell you. Won't you tell what he did for you? You were created for God works. Same word when Jesus said, there is no one good but God. He's saying God is good and God is in you. Amen. Job 32, 7 through 9. Job 32, 7 through 9. And I said, age should speak and the multitudes of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in a man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. How do we have more wisdom, more insight, more understanding than all of our teachers? Fall in love with God's Word. Let that love relationship override all of my thinking. Let the Word of God be my obedience. Let the Word of God be my blood. Give me life. Let your life be in me, Lord. Let your light, let your word sustain me. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But there is a spirit in a man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. All right, we're going to look at, let's look at verse 5. For we, everybody there? I know I'm trying to hurry. Is everybody there?
I'm there.
2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, and we're going to run it down. How many have ever went through a trial and tribulation? I've not been able to be the conference because of trials and tribulations. We pulled a cable last night two or three times. And every time we would pull it and get done with it, to the fact that we were cutting up and breaking all of this thousands of dollars worth of equipment down that's required to do what we do, I'd put the meter on it or the tester and fail. Brand new cable, brand new this, brand new that. We go through trials and tribulations. Amen. So let's look at who we are and what we are here. Okay? Because the Spirit and the breath of the Almighty gives understanding. What does the Holy Spirit, what's His breath reveal? The Word of God. The breath of the Holy Spirit is life in God's Word. Who does the Holy Spirit bear witness to and always glorify? The book of John 14, 15, 16, 17 would say He always identifies and bears witness to the person of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You get the Holy Spirit's agenda on something, you're going to get the Word of God. So He's going to breathe the Word of God. So let's look right here and see what the Word of God tells us right here. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Are you willing to be a bondservant? You know what a bondservant actually is? The property of another. That's a Jesus girl right there. She's the property of Jesus. They're the property of Jesus. So we're to be, you know, Paul was a bondservant. Why? Because he loved the time with the Lord. See, let me tell you, folks, get this now. You've got words just like Paul. I'm not telling you to add to the Bible. We know about that. We don't add one thing or take one thing away. But you can encourage it in your own way where people get God's sovereign Word of God, that they get His instructions, His precepts, His commands. See, Paul had to spend time along with Lord, with the Lord and the Holy Spirit to get the love to give the letter out. Does that make any sense? He had to go away for how many years, Michael? 3 years, didn't he? He had to get the download before he downloaded it. All right, verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now verse 7 is where we're going. We were talking about how the breath of God gives understanding. Now look at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel. How many know that you're an earthen vessel? You are an earthen vessel. But we have this treasure in an earthen vessel that is the... All right, let me... Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of power may be of God and not of us. The Holy Spirit is that treasure that abides in you. In other words, God abides in you, the Word of God abides in you, and Christ in you is the hope of God's glory to the world. All right, let's go on with it because it's just the Lord put this is so important. I want to encourage you through the Scriptures, no matter what's going on. And my heart has been with you guys so deeply. So deeply, so deeply. How many, you know, like we said, you go through things, don't we, guys? We go through things. Look at our guarantee. And when we start looking at God's Word as a promise and a guarantee, everything changes. All right, look at verse 8. For we are hard-pressed on every side, get this, yet not crushed. Why? Because I've got God in me. I've got the Word of God in me. I've got the promises of God in me. I've got faithfulness in me. 2 Corinthians 4. Now we're going to go on verse 8. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. For we are hard pressed on every side. This is the promise, yet we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. You're going to believe God's word, you're going to believe your head. If you believe in your head, you believe in the devil. Because that's his playground. That's his playpen and workshop. Till we come to that part that our thinking is the Word of God. See, guys, this is a monumental leap. When your thinking lines up with God's Word, everything changes in your life. Everything changes in your life. Remember, we started out on thinking. Hey, thought, what the Wycliffe, what their translation of that scripture was, that they're thinking that it's, you know, one that knows more than the teachers, the result is that their thinking is in total love and unity and oneness, no more two, it's just one, with the Word of God. Amen? How does a man and woman become one? They come together as one. And you only see one. And if you study the Word of God, when I prophesy over people, and a lot of times the Lord will give me a word for, let's say, a lady, and a lot of times it'll be for the man. It'll be for the man. Prophesy over a guy, let me tell you something. Oh, man, that wasn't for me, but it's for my wife. It was for you because y'all were one. God don't see a separation here. He doesn't do that. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. I don't give a rat's posterior what's going on with you. God's Word says you're going to endure. Amen? I held it down, didn't I, guys? Always carrying about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus. That the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. That is a situation where you fell in love and become one with God's Word, and you will have more insight, understanding. In other words, you locked arms with God's Word, and you're one. You're one. Let's repeat that again. That the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Amen? Psalms 119:115. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Let's repeat that in Psalms 119:115. Depart from me, you evildoers. If you're put in a situation, what's an evildoer? Anything that's evil. You know, and we talk about this in a men's group, and I want to share this with you ladies. One of the instructions that we hear a lot from our guys, and we've spoke. You know, pornography is a big problem with men. Now, I'm not getting in the ladies' side. I'll let y'all be whatever. But what we teach our men and what we do is when we walk into a convenience store and the magazine's racks right there and we're paying for our gas, we turn our back to it. That would be a fulfillment of depart from me, you evildoer. Whatever it may be, it's a choice. I can either stand right there, it'd be like this. Here. Departing from evil, guys and girls, is a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. Sound judgment we get through the Word of God. America today is lacking sound judgment. Edgar, get some M hundreds out and put my billfold so it won't look so bare when you That was just free. That was free. I want to share this with you. My daughter, Skylar, Daddy's heart, she went home to be with Jesus in 2016, June the 15th. My baby, one thing she lacked was sound judgment. Sound judgment comes with the Word of God. The world would try to come against godly judgment, making the right decision. You know, we know what judgment means, to levy judgment, okay? But like this, well, should I do this or should I do that? One thing we're lacking today is sound judgment in our teenagers. You know why? Because they're not getting it at home. Mom and dad don't have sound judgment either, because their lives are not directed, or they've not fell in love with God's Word. They're not one with the Word. Okay? Is that all right? Depart from me, you evildoers. In other words, whatever sin, whatever comes against God's Word, we've got to turn our back on it. Got to turn our back on it. I'm not going to get out here and argue. It's not my position. I'm not going to go out here like a street preacher that I see some of them getting up there and getting confrontation, telling that people, you going to do this. That ain't God. That's not God. Because he tells us when you don't do it in love and you do it in condemnation, it's not. You got to do it in love, guys. And they got to see that love in me to want that love that I have. And if you don't have that love, you couldn't sell that in a bar room with a bunch of drunks. Okay. Joshua 24:15 says, as far as me and my house, we're going to love the Lord, because you will serve the one that you love. Amen. Amen. And the one you serve is your master. Amen. So at Psalms 119, it would say, depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of God. In other words, we have to turn our stuff. We have to turn our back. We have to make that decision to walk away if it is not alignment with God's Word. Joshua 24:15, as far as me in my house, we will serve the Lord. You know why our children don't serve the Lord? Because mom and daddy ain't serving the Lord. Bottom line. Deuteronomy 4:16. Back that up. Deuteronomy 4:6-8. Therefore, be careful to observe them. Talking about God's Word. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of people who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a great nation. Why is our nation in peril? Why is our nation in sin? Why does our nation now have law that is sin? Because we have forsaken the God of the Bible. And you forsake him, you forsake his word. Amen? Sin is now law in this nation. For what nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason we may call upon him, and what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in the law which I set before you this day? In other words, the whole point of the Ten Commandments was to keep the house of Israel separate from the Gentiles or the pagans, right? To keep them from the way of the world. They were set apart people. They were holy. Holy means set apart for God's use. Take out of common use, set for God's use. That's for her use. That bottle. Second Chronicles 7:14. People say, well, I've heard this. But let me tell you something. Have we really heard it? This nation is not, we've never heard this. When you hear something and have really heard it, it becomes part of you. It becomes part of you, and you adhere to it. If my people who are called my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their unrighteousness, their wicked ways, thinking what you want to think and it's all right. It's not, you cannot have it your own way. It's not a Burger King world. You cannot have it your way. You can't have it my way if I went over to, I couldn't have it my way if I went over to your house. And turned from their wicked ways. Now get this. Then I will hear from heaven. Forgive their sin and heal their land. Guys, it's still a confession thing. It's still, it's a speaking thing. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made nigh unto salvation. That was Romans 10, 9 and 10. It's always been a mouth thing. And if you want to be delivered, cry out to the Lord. If you go back to Exodus chapter 3, the cry of the people had come before God. And God called Moses. He was out in the wilderness, and he come before the burning bush. And God gave him the download. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, the Lord said, I am. Who, you know, Moses said, who am I to tell the people that I've encountered? Who are you? God told him, I am that I am. And let me tell you, guys, we've got away from God principles. Amen? Okay, Isaiah 11. We said just a minute ago, all through the Bible, it talks about as he is, so are we. Under this age, under the dispensation of grace, and through the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, things are altogether different. Is that fair enough? Christ is indwelling. Amen? The Spirit of God is indwelling. He's there to lead me and guide me. He reproves me of what? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. He guides me into what? All truth. I got truth abiding in me if I listen. But it's a choice. Am I going to lean to my own understanding, or am I in love with God's Word? Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. And it's talking about how Jesus would come out of the stem, well, he's talking about David there, and there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And this is what is said about Jesus. This is what, well, we'll just get on down through here, and I'm going to prove to you the same applies to you. The Spirit of the Lord God shall rest upon him. Not only resting upon you, it's indwelling. Remember 2 Corinthians 4, 7, that we have a treasure in this earthen vessel. That's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord God shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Seven spirits. What is it? It's completion, right? John 17, 23 would say, I am one with God the Father and Jesus the Son. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Purposely, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. It rests in us, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might. That's of Jesus, okay? John chapter 17, verse 23 again. I am one with God the Father and Jesus the Son. Guys, we ought to be, let me tell you, is anything too big for you? Philippians 4, 13, amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Word of God says, I am one with God the Father and Jesus the Son. Romans 5, 17. I am reigning in the life of Jesus Christ. When Michael walks up to a car wreck, Jesus is there. I am reigning in the life of Jesus Christ. Guys, either it's true or it ain't. And if it's not true, I'm leaving. I'm taking one of my spiritual sons and we're going to the bar. Now, I'm going to get real. Because if it wasn't real, it could have never changed this man. A man that his oldest son testifies when he speaks before people, I know God's real because only God could have changed my daddy. Amen. Romans 5:17 again. Grace and victory. Romans 5, grace, 17 is victory. Amen. Look at this. I am one reigning in the life of Jesus Christ. The Bible in Ephesians would say that we're seated together. We've been raised together and we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our position of seating with Christ is one of a man and woman as a couple. It's not like this. A lot of people, can you hold me?
Yeah.
I know you've lost weight. Sure? Our position is not like this. Blocking the vision of Jesus. That's not our position. This is our position. If I were to sit and straddle him, breath to breath, eyes to eyes, nose to nose, intimate to intimate, heart to heart. That's how we're seated with Christ. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the beginning. He's all, my all in all. And let me tell you, if you want to get personal with Jesus, ask him, Lord, let me look in your eyes. Romans 8:17 would say, now get this, I am a joint heir with Christ. Now guys, the reason I purposely went through those three scriptures to tell you and to show you and to prove to you in any court of law, in any gathering, that you're one with Christ and what he has is yours. Amen? Did that not prove it? Isaiah 42:1-5 says, behold, my servant whom I'm uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. Let me tell you something. The Lord delights in you. He will bring forth justice. I have put my spirit upon him. I have put my spirit upon him and he will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Romans 8:9 would say, I am indwelt by the Spirit of God. Woo! Isaiah 50:4-9 says, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak. A word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear. I specifically, the Lord instructed me to speak that over here now. The Lord, you hear from the Lord God. You hear from him. Why? Because he also says in Scripture that his sheep know his voice and the stranger they will not follow. You going to believe you or you going to believe Jesus? You going to believe him or you going to believe Jesus? He says, my sheep adhere, know, and respond to my voice. They hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Amen. I'll get back to it. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear. Isaiah 61. This is your mandate for today. You're as a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. This is our mandate for today, is Isaiah 61. Okay? The Spirit of the Lord God is in me. He's not only up on me in an anointing, He indwells in me. We just improved it by Scripture. Okay, let's go right back. Romans 8, 9. I am indwelt by the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. Anybody that tells you any different, what do? Got to turn your back. You don't have to argue with them. Because let me tell you, you can't argue with a fool. Amen? Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me, provided in me, and equipped me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year, the acceptable year of the Lord, and in the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Now, guys, I was telling you about, we're seeing a lot of people, we're seeing a lot of street ministers. We go out on the street, we minister continually. We go into hospitals, we have a ministry in factories. We had it, one factory has built us a church. We started our 13th year in marketplace ministry in one place. And let me tell you one thing. One of the big mistakes that's given the body of Christ a bad name is to see these guys up on a bucket and speaking condemnation. Not the love of the Lord. Because let me tell you, if you took somebody caught up in sin, you know it's easy to get coal out of a coal mine. But when you can get before them in love and bring gold out that God in them, out of that coal mine, that's how you will get to them. Because it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. And let me tell you something. You just got to love the hell out of them. The Lord spoke to me 3 or 4 years ago, and He said this. He said, son, I'm going to continue to love the hell right out of you. And I was just bawling the whole time. He said, don't worry about it. I'm going to continue, just like I said, me squalling in my misery, guilt, pain, and shame, crying, oh, Lord, it's all right, son. I'm going to continue to love the hell right out of you. You get real with God. You get real with Jesus. He's going to get real with you. Amen. Amen? So our mandate, like no other time, because we are indwelt by the Spirit of God, the love of God, we become one with love. How can I have more wisdom than all my teachers? Because I'm one with it. Amen. 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 I am one with the Word. Because He has anointed you and I to preach good tidings to the poor. Man, you don't have to be bound up in that misery, pain, and shame. And they got to let them see it. You got to let them see it. To preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent you to heal the brokenhearted. And we're going to go back and we're going to close it. In that chicken pen. And all the chickens is going down like this. And there's that water container. And that bucket, that jug on top. That water will only come out if you allow it to be drawn out. In other words, let me tell you something. There's people in here that God's calling you out. And as Tim prophesied this, he gave a word of the Lord that we were going to be sharing words. Give out. And the Lord will not only give into you, He will pour into you so that they may have life. Amen. Let me see if we're at a stopping point. Psalms 119, 127. Therefore, I love your commandments. It's always been a love thing. We proved it from the very beginning, Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 5, 6, and 7 through there. And we're to give our children and our homes the love, the Word of God. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Psalms 119, 97. Oh, how I love your laws. I meditate on it all the day. You, through your commands, make me wiser than my enemies. And I'm going to share one more thing and I'm done. Psalms 119. Verse 4, I want you to turn your Bibles real quickly and we're going to go over there. How many have sons that have got to the right or to the left and got away from God? Every family. You know, used to, when there was problems with alcohol and drugs, it was only the Blankenbecklers in East Tennessee. You know, there's them guys. My sister, I seen my sister take and hit my brother and knock him over the hood of a car. We were that kind of family. Wild, courageous, and crazy in the ways of the world. Now, it's just not the Blankenbecklers. Every family is affected by sin. Whether it be alcohol, drugs, pornography, and it's got away from the law of the Lord. Amen? Look right here. How can a young man cleanse his way? Now get this, because this is very important. I share this. Psalms 119, verse 4. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. That's a law, a decree made sovereign by God. Verse 6. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commands. Verse 7. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy God's righteous judgments. In other words, all these are his. They're his commandments. They're his statutes. They're his righteous judgments. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way. In other words, the deal there is, in whatever circumstances going on, how many got going on with your sons and your daughters right now? How many things, wherever they're at, in however the situation, there's things going on with our families today. I'm telling you, let me tell you, it's a word from the Lord. How shall they, that young woman, that older man, that young woman, how can they cleanse their way? By taking heed thereto, according to the Word of God. In other words, falling in love with the Word of God and it becoming one in them. Cleanse. Notice we use the word cleanse. How shall we cleanse our way? Now get this, what this word means. It's zaka. To be pure. To be justified. Now get this, to be acquitted. Stand up, Michael. That's one of my spiritual sons. And he loves me. Everything that I've ever told him, anything, what do you do? What an honor. That young man right there standing before you had 6 felonies before he was 16 years old. How can a young man cleanse his way? By adhering and becoming one with the Word of God. And when that happens, they're acquitted of all guilt and shame. Do you want your children and our young people acquitted today? Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Look at here. To be justified. And it might not mean nothing, but when you have one that goes with the Lord and you know and they're justified, it everything. To know that they're justified is everything. And they're in right standing with the Lord. To be justified, to be acquitted, to be moral pure, to be pure. Now get this. And to be of a superior quality. There's only one superior quality, guys. That's to be one with God's Word. You are one with Him. Amen?
Amen.
Woo, we finally got into it.